The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Yeah, I wouldn't exactly call it fly, Eagles fly. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take. Thank you so much for being with us. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam-Rose. Monday Night Football, we'll dive right into it. It's actually the Hawks that are soaring. The Eagles have fallen. Carson Wentz has now had 15 interceptions. He's taken 45 sacks thus far this season. Something like that hasn't happened since the 80s. Max, I'll start with you. They have just... Oh, go ahead.
I just want to say, Molly, I can't start off the show without highlighting the blue is looking very, very lovely. Max Kellerman, the tie, the dapping, all of that stuff. But you might want to move the tie a little bit to your right. Just a little bit, Max Kellerman, to your right-hand side.
I'm sorry,
just
a little. To my right, like this, you mean, right?
To your right. Yes. Just a little bit over. Just yes. There,
there we go.
I got you. Well, thank you.
Now we're on point.
We're ready.
I'm just here for y'all. Crossing our T's.
I'm just trying to be here for y'all.
Appreciate
just trying to be here for y'all.
You know, not a Windsor, so it's a little asymmetrical.
All right, let's go.
Philly guys, just 3 wins. Max, tell me this. Do you think the Eagles need to just clean house at this point?
Oh, yeah, there's no other. I mean, like, look, I'm the one. Yes, the answer is yes. I'm the one coming out over always and killing Carson Wentz because I noticed since last year when everyone was saying how great he was playing, he was regressing badly. That's continued now till no one can deny it anymore. But, yes, it's not just Wentz. Peterson going for it down 11 on fourth down. And you know me, I'm like all for going for it on fourth down. But situational football. Your offense can't do anything. Make it a one-score game. This is not rocket science. To me, that's Peterson saying, I don't want anything to do with this. Right? He has plausible deniability or whatever. I need to get away from this. Howie Roseman. I mean, a lot of people stupidly passed up on DK Metcalf, Molly, who you and many others were saying, what about this guy over here? You should. But Howie Roseman
He's
was one
real
of them.
Deal.
Howie Roseman passed up on Jefferson to take Rager, who was said he runs a 1.240. Remember, you heard things like he runs a 4.340, but at the combine it was closer to 4.5 and couldn't get separation at all yesterday. No, and by the way, and then drafts Jalen Hurts in the second round, who's clearly that's an indictment of Carson Wentz, but obviously Hurts isn't ready to do anything, or they had given him a more of a look so far. And by the way, Peterson, when he puts Hurts in, the offense is doing nothing. They have like 5 consecutive series with possessions, with like they're 3 and out, they're 3 and out, they're 3 and out. They put Hurts in, there's a pre-snap penalty, and then he completes like a 6-yard pass. Immediately, Carson Wentz comes back in, right? So it's terrible Peterson, but I think it's almost intentional at this point. Peterson's like, I got to distance myself from this. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. He'll get another head coaching job. I think Roseman also, this stinks. The drafting Hurts doesn't make any sense under the circumstances. He keeps missing with the wide receivers, right, in terms of putting something together. And then obviously Carson Wentz. Guys, do I have to keep saying it? Do I have to keep saying it? The dude is the worst starting quarterback in the NFL right now. Stephen A., if you want to say, well, if Roseman and Peterson were doing better, he wouldn't be the worst. I agree with that. He'd be average, low average. The dude ain't getting paid average, low average. He has an immovable contract. Again, find a taker for the contract. What have I been saying, like, earlier in the season?
Come out.
See if you can get Nick Foles for Carson Wentz. Not that Foles would do any better with this Eagles team, but at least you get under, out, like, Foles has a modest contract. Wentz is getting paid like a superstar. So at least you get out from under Wentz's contract, and the Bears will get a mobile quarterback who at least used to be able to pass the ball down the field.
Wentz was awful
again. Stephen A. Yes.
You're confusing me. You're confusing me. Are you saying the coach needs to go, the GM needs to go, or everybody needs to go? I'm lost. What are you saying?
I thought, well, the GM, the coach, and the quarterback is everybody. So I am saying everybody.
Yeah.
I will just end by saying this and hand it to you. Carson Wentz was facing an historically bad defense last night, and he made them look like the 85 Bears. Right? They couldn't get, they had like negative 3 yards in their first 5. It was ridiculous. He can't do anything. He's shot. And I blame the enablers on the team and in the media who keep telling him how great he is when he keeps regressing. Why doesn't anyone tell him the truth? Carson Wentz, you stink. But there was greatness in there. But right now, it's all messed up. You got to get better.
Okay. Now, before I go into my soliloquy, let me ask you a question, Max Kellerman. Are you aware of how old Carson Wentz is? He's 28.
27.
He's 28 years old.
28.
Well, they said 28. I'm sorry. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it says right here he's 28 years old. What I'm asking you is this. At the age of 25, were we not saying that he was great, that he was on the verge of greatness?
Yep. He was.
Okay. So what I'm saying to you is where you and I part ways is that your criticisms are on point. But when we talk about cleaning house, that means everybody got to go. And I'm of the mindset that Peterson has to go, even though Peterson is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And do you know why I believe Peterson has to go? For exactly the reason you said. He don't look like he wants to coach this guy. He doesn't look like he believes in this guy.
Agreed.
He doesn't look like he believes that this is the guy that he wants to ride with. But the Eagles are committed, to $59 million to this man over the next year or two? He ain't going anywhere. So the fact that Carson Wentz ain't going anywhere because you're not going to get anybody to take those numbers, and on top of it all, you got to pay him those numbers. I'm sorry, the head coach who used to be an offensive coordinator, who used to be a quarterback's coach, that dude has to be held accountable because that's your job. Now, if you were a defensive coordinator, let's say, for example, Max, he was Tony Dungy or he was Lovie Smith or he was Mike Tomlin or somebody. Hell, if he was Vic Fangio, well, guess what? Defense is your thing. I brought in a quarterback's coach. I brought in an offensive coordinator to work with this guy, and it's not working out. That would be different. But for Peterson, this is what you do. This is what you're supposed to do. Frank Reich was there as the quarterback's coach and the offensive coordinator when the Eagles won a Super Bowl. I get that. But damn, who brought Frank Reich on his staff? That was Peterson. He was a member of your staff. I'd like to believe y'all communicated. I'd like to believe there's a thing or two here that not only you knew and you taught him, but vice versa. He was able to impart his wisdom upon you so you could have a profoundly positive effect on the franchise quarterback. The fact that the quarterback has regressed. We know that he's had injuries and we understand that. But if we looked at Carson Wentz, Max, and saw him hobbling, if we saw that his legs were never the same, et cetera, I get all of that. But when you look at him and you see that he's healthy, that physically, even though he's getting beat up because the offensive line is trash, they can't protect him, he can't even step back to take a deep breath for crying out loud before they're all over him. Still in all, he's getting up play after play, quarter after quarter, game after game. So I have to look at the coach. It's your, you don't play. You're the coach. It's your job to figure out a way to maximize this dude's ability. When you talk about his regression, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm simply saying, wait a minute. When do we look at Peterson? And when do we look at Peterson, Max, and go right to what you said? Think about it, Max, the picture that you painted. You just imagine it. You didn't report it as fact. I'm just talking about one time when you were here on the show and you just utilized your imagination. And you said, imagine Peterson being in that room with Foles, with Carson Wentz, and you talked about what he probably wanted. Well, if you didn't get it, who would know that they were not wanted? It would be Carson Wentz. You're coaching him like you don't want to coach him. So go. That's where I'm at with it.
Well, look, I can't. Yes, Peterson's got to go too. Clearly, he doesn't want to coach the team, it looks to me. He looks like he wants no part of
it. He doesn't want to coach Carson Wentz.
But, and Roseman, I said also, he's got to go. Roseman screwed this up too bad, including the Hurts drafting. Everything is wrong right now. The team needs to be built from the ground up again. They need to just restart. They got a Super Bowl out of this era. They should be very happy. Of course, the quarterback who's responsible for it mainly is out of town. Like, he won all the playoff games and won Super Bowl MVP, and he's not there anymore. But I'm talking about Wentz right now, Stephen A. The reason, even this game, everyone's arguing with me, telling me their only chance to win is with Carson Wentz. In fact, Hurts may have given them a better chance to win. If this was supposed to be the game to find out about Wentz, he ain't got it, right? And what people have missed is by not benching him what I suggested like a month ago, three, four games ago, mm-hmm. He never got the message. He was never held accountable to the team. He has continued to regress. Stephen A., it's such shocking regression at this time. It's a continuation of the middle of last year that I noticed last year. But it's kept going. It's kept going because all he hears is how great he is. That's why he says things like, this is the way we do it around here. Remember what he had? He had Goddard, the tight end, twice on linebackers, right? Once it was obviously Bobby Wagner, and who was it the other time? And he underthrew the ball so badly that they got a pass interference call out of it, right? Because coming back on the play, the linebacker knocks into Goddard. Like, he is so bad. When something good happens, it's by luck. It's because he's so bad. The defense can't even kind of compute how bad he is.
But, Max, you got two running backs that are at one's averaging nearly 5 yards a carry. The other's averaging over 5 yards a carry. You're talking about Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. They got 8 carries last night. 8! What are you doing?
Yep, ridiculous.
When I look at Howie Roseman, listen, I don't like the fact that he drafted Jalen Hurts. I get all of that with the investment that you made in Carson Wentz. The flip side is Carson Wentz's durability was a question mark, so it sort of made sense because you never knew when he was going to get hurt. My point is, when you look at their defense, their secondary might have been compromised, but excuse me, it's not trash. You got some good defensive players on that side of the ball. You've got a guy in Schwartz that knows what he's doing, coaching the defense as your defensive coordinator. So we get all of that. Offensively, you got a running game. Offensively, you've got some decent receivers. You certainly tight at the linebacker spot with Ertz and Goddard. So what I'm saying to you is that it's really about Wentz and Peterson, more so than it's about Roseman. Roseman didn't make the right move with this particular draft, but the man did help them win a Super Bowl after the Chip Kelly disaster. He came back, took over, helped deliver a Super Bowl. He had a part in hiring Peterson, obviously. You see the roster that they assembled. I can't point the finger at Roseman, and I'm not even questioning Peterson in terms of his capabilities. I am saying that you look at him and Wentz, and clearly, that is not a marriage that is going to last. It needs to be a divorce.
Let me tell you something, Stephen A., real quick.
Since I'm stuck with Wentz's ability at 28 years of age, I'm going to get rid of the coach before I get rid of that brother.
Real quick, because I think you pointed to something that tells me Peterson wants out. If the quarterback can't get it done, and you have capable running backs who can make gains in the run game, I understand not running the ball on first down and being predictable. You don't run the ball at all? Like, first 15 plays? You're not going to run the ball at all? To me, that's
weeks.
A coach who's saying, okay, tough guy. Okay, Wentz, you don't want to run my offense? Okay, here, go ahead. Do your thing. Let's see what you can do. And the answer is nothing.
All right.
We can go with that.
Philly has not drafted a Pro Bowl player since Wentz, and that was back in 2014. Meanwhile, DK Metcalf, Seattle, they're in a different trajectory, everybody. Seattle is 8-3, good for the second seed in this loaded NFC playoff picture. Everyone is chasing the Saints at 9-2. Stephen A., what do you think? Do you think Seattle should be the favorites right now in the NFC?
Not going to lie to you. Right now, I'm looking at them in that fashion. That certainly wasn't the case before. I'm still holding out hope for Tampa Bay. But Seattle, to me, in terms of their balance, the pickup of Dunlap, Adams coming back healthy, having some balance on that defense with Metcalf being the stud that he is and Russell Wilson being who he is, I would have to say yeah right now.
Look, Dunlap was a good pickup. And with Wagner and Adams healthy, that defense should get better, although last night was not an indication. That's just the Eagles. I would say it's got to be the Saints, though. And these are I went back and forth preseason between these two teams in the NFC. And the reason I think it's the Saints, Stephen A., is actually because of a quirk of the way things worked out. Drew Brees got hurt. So that's bad. But if he comes back with enough runway, the man had a rest. And he's been beaten up by the end of most of these seasons, and he's looked bad in the playoffs in the moment of truth. But this is different now. Now Drew Brees will not have played those bunch of games, probably shouldn't look as worn down. Plus, he's extra motivated because this might be it. Probably the last season. He's thinking about retiring last season, right? So if this is it, he's on the best team that he's been on in years, maybe ever. They picked up Emmanuel Sanders, who's now healthy and playing. Michael Thomas. They have their number two receiver, Sanders, to go with Thomas. They have Kamara. They have everything he needs. They picked up Quan Alexander. Who can really play, but he had a big contract because he's good. That's how they were able to get him, right, from San Francisco. I think the motivation for Brees combined with the well-roundedness of the Saints, including on the defensive end, makes them my pick in the NFC. I think they're the team to beat.
Can't blame you for that, but I feel differently because I think the absence of Drew Brees could potentially come back to haunt them, even though he's going to get it together and you know that he's going to be precise and accurate for the most part. He's not somebody that necessarily moves the chains with his running ability. So as a result of that, it's compromised them in the past. Now, I know you're looking at Taysom Hill and you're seeing what he's doing, particularly with running the football, so that's a dual threat that Sean Payton can find a way to maneuver and utilize, but in the end, it's still a situation where you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Either Drew Brees is going to get the snaps or he's going to be compromised to some degree because Taysom Hill is going to get the snaps. We don't have to worry about that with Seattle and Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is going to be there consistently, pretty much for every down, obviously avoiding it, if he avoids injury. And his ability to run with the football and move the chains along with throwing the football and having a stud like Metcalf and having Lockett and Carson coming back to run the football and add that rough rider element to the equation along with Greg Olsen. I think that, you know, I didn't see him last night. I don't know how hurt he is or whatever, but you're anticipating that he'll be back at some point being the tight end for Seattle. I just look at the multitude of weapons and the fact that they've improved their defense, and I think this is a team that obviously they can't be ignored, but right now at this particular moment in time, if I had to choose between the two, it would be Seattle because New Orleans may not have that consistency because Drew Brees has been out and he has to come back, and it's not that he's not going to be great. But if you're going up against greatness, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, potentially Tom Brady, you got all of that going on. That's a lot to ask of Drew Brees. It's not that he can't do it. Well, I'm just simply saying I wouldn't bet my money at this particular moment in time that he'd be the one to do that over those teams. Not necessarily Tampa because
I'll
we know what they did to Tampa. But definitely Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson.
I'll take Russell Wilson over the combination of Drew Brees and Taysom Hill also. Although Drew Brees and Taysom Hill is a lot. But I'll take the Saints defense over the Seahawks defense. And I think offensively they're comparable in terms of what they're capable of if they're clicking on all cylinders, right? And also, see, the Saints have been playing their, you know, better football recently, and that's even without Drew Brees. Let me say one thing quick about the upside of having Taysom Hill and Drew Brees not in the same person like Seattle does in the form of Russell Wilson. When Taysom Hill's on the field, especially now that we see he can actually run the team's offense competently, you know, we'll see over time, but at least you can see he can run it competently. When he's on the field, with Drew Brees especially, how does a defense know what's going to happen? We see that he can throw the ball and he can read a defense well enough. He can obviously run. He can block if he has to, and he can catch. All at acceptable NFL levels for a position, you know, a guy who gets real rotation on an NFL team. So in fact, even though yes, Russell Wilson is better than the two of those guys because all those skills are kind of in one guy, Taysom Hill has just shown when he's if you want to consider him a gadget player when Drew Brees is on the field, fine. But like, he's one of the all-time gadget players. If anything, it makes them even more dangerous.
Well, again, under most circumstances, you'd be right. But if you're going up against the consistent excellence of Russell Wilson, that's a different ballgame altogether. Number two, notice that Seattle is never out of any game. They're always chipping away. They're always right there. They're always in nail biters. You don't blow out the Seattle Seahawks. They don't wet beds, per se. You know, they show up week in and week out, regardless of what their troubles may be. And the fact that they've addressed their weakness, which is on the defensive side of the ball, is something that I don't think can be ignored because you're going to have a tougher time scoring against them. Meanwhile, Seattle, because of its consistency, its continuity, the excellence of Russell Wilson, along with the bevy of weapons that he has available to him, particularly with his favorite runner coming back into the lineup last night, I think that puts Seattle in a favorable position at this particular moment in time. And other teams are going to have to step up in order to knock them off.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. All right, Ravens-Steelers has been postponed and moved to tomorrow at 3:40 Eastern, the third postponement game after Ravens players said Monday they did not want to play Tuesday because of safety concerns and corresponding schedule changes. The Steelers' Week 13 game against Washington has been moved to that Monday, and the Ravens' Week 13 game against Dallas has been moved to that Tuesday. Running backs J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram are eligible to play Wednesday, but 13 Ravens players, including Lamar Jackson, will remain on the COVID list, a source telling our Adam Schefter. On that note, we bring in our quarterback, Dan Orlovsky of NFL Live fame and Get Up and many other programs. Dan, good to see you. Max, you're up first, though. What impact is this going to have on the season?
First of all, it must be windy where Dan is. Dan, you outside somewhere?
Yeah.
What's going on with this?
I was thinking about that
here?
Myself, Max. Yeah, I was thinking the jacket. What's up with that, Dan Orlovsky?
I purposely didn't wear a tie. I didn't wear a tie on purpose just so I didn't have to go on national television and get embarrassed by another grown man having me to tell me having to fix it.
Ah, get it. I get it.
I don't understand.
All right,
it's
prevent defense. Molly, never. I think the Steelers never. Actually benefit from this in a weird way. I think that this is an undefeated team, and it's not their fault. It's like, hey, we're heading into week 13 now. Why do they have 10 wins? But it's an undefeated team very late in the season, and they don't have the respect that they're due, really. People still don't believe in them. They don't show up on anyone's number one power rankings or anything like that, and throughout the season, it's been a steady climb, and people have been hesitant to believe it, early because the schedule is soft, later because they don't blow out most teams. The good teams, they squeak by. Because, as I've said, great well-roundedness is not like great overwhelming offense. Mediocrity doesn't just get blown away. It just gets beaten. And so when we look to their wins and use them as measuring sticks, well, the Steelers only beat this team by a field goal, that team by 6 points, whatever it was. Not like this other team over here blew them out. No, but the Steelers, all they do is win. And I don't care how internally motivated you are. Guys, why is Tom Brady last year tweeting something basically at me saying Cliff and showing the miles per hour on the radar gun for the football? Like, what does he care about what I say, right? He's internally motivated. Why did Derek Jeter on the 98 Yankees, greatest team ever, say after they won the World Series, no one thought we could do it, when actually everyone thought they were going to do it? Because I don't care how internally motivated an athlete is, they're constantly looking for extra motivation, external motivation, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to use this now. A team that didn't fall into traps in trap games anyway, a team coached by Mike Tomlin that takes every opponent seriously, nevertheless is going to be even more intense for the rest of this season. Because for the second time, well, it's more than two times, but it's with two different teams, the Titans and the Ravens, probably the two toughest teams on their schedule so far, right? They have to postpone things. They have to move things around. Whether or not it's medically the responsible things to do, they're going to think, and they said, we're getting jobbed here. So they don't get enough respect. Then they feel like they're getting jobbed by happenstance or by the league or by their arch rivals, the Ravens. It doesn't have to be perfectly rational. It just has to be the way they feel. I believe they're going to use this as motivation. I think we're going to see the best version of the Steelers, partly as a result of this from here on out. I think they just got even more dangerous.
I think you're reaching. I think you're reaching. I don't think that whatever you're seeing from the Steelers, I don't think it's going to be because of what has transpired here. And Dan, by the way, I do like the jacket. It's just that the zipper threw me off because it's over your right shoulder. But that's neither here nor there. I'll get back to that later, some other time.
Thank you.
Here's the bottom line with the Steelers. Everybody walked into this season knowing that change was going to take place. Like, it wasn't the September, if you remember the September 11th attacks in 2001, obviously the Super Bowl ultimately date was moved back or what have you, if I remember correctly, and they really haven't had postponements to their schedule since that time. We understand how sticklers the NFL is in terms of keeping things on schedule, but they came into the season knowing that changes were imminent. Week four with the Tennessee Titans, the multitude of things that they had to do with the New England Patriots because of the, you know, the number of folks that ended up testing positive. With the Baltimore Ravens, the Steelers might be incredibly frustrated, but they might be incredibly frustrated because the games keep being moved back a day here, a day there, a day there. But you can't blame anybody. When you look at the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, every single day, there's an additional positive test. So the Steelers might be perturbed. They might be a bit annoyed. But in the end, ultimately, what you have to reach the conclusion of is that, again, we're going through a global pandemic. We're seeing cases spike all over the country, particularly during the months of December and January. People are incredibly worried about how worse things are going to get. And the NFL hasn't been able to escape that reality. They already canceled the Pro Bowl, okay? You know they anticipate the possibility of having to move the Super Bowl back. They know that that stadium is going to be, you know, Raymond James Stadium, whatever it is in Tampa Bay, is going to be available. All of these contingency plans have been addressed. So when you, when you're the Pittsburgh Steelers or any NFL team for that matter, because we're talking about COVID-19, in the immediate moment, it might be frustrating because you're trying to get on the schedule. You know you're ready. You're ready to go and the other team is not. And you understand that there's some blame to be pointed in their direction because a few individuals may have been irresponsible. But in the end, because it's COVID that we're talking about here, where you have people testing positive at times and they don't even know why. They don't know what they did. They were wearing their mask. They did engage in social distancing. But who knows? They might have touched the surface. They might have been in an environment where it was airborne. You don't know what the hell is going on. And I think ultimately, at the end of the day, that's the conclusion people will reach once things subside. So I don't think this is going to have an effect, positive or negative, on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think what you see from the Pittsburgh Steelers is what you were going to see anyway, whether there was a delay or not. I do not believe that it's going to be because of this that somehow their motivation is elevated to a point where we're going to see them take something to another level. They're already undefeated, for crying out loud.
Yeah, before I get into the question, Max, let me address. Listen, I don't need you to come at 10:30 in the morning. I already got a long day. I know I got a long day with you after what happened last night. I don't need to come on at 10:30 and for you to try to take a shot at my wardrobe, okay? You got all your buddies and all your cronies hitting me up on social media about Carson Wentz. I know at 11 o'clock when I got to come back on and talk about the Eagles and Carson Wentz, my hands are full. So the last thing I need is for you to take your shot at my jacket, okay? It's a free jacket. I want to wear it. Now to the question. I think there's really two big ramifications with what's going on in this game. One, this is really, really damning for the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, this is a team that's the number 8 seed in the playoffs. And their chances of winning this football game are less than 1%, less than 2%. I mean, so you're talking about a team that, because of COVID and because of the rules and the protocols and the constant postponement of the game, that they're going to be without some really key players. They're going to lose this football game sitting at 6-5 and now likely going to be sitting at 6-6 as the 8 seed, which is going to be a huge game. I mean, we're talking one game could be the difference between not just getting the 1 seed and winning your division, but getting into the actual playoffs. And so this game is going to be huge, a huge mountain for them to climb afterwards to try to get back into the playoff race, because you're talking about Las Vegas and potentially New England being back into the picture because of it. And the second thing that I think of is this. This needs to be, in many ways, a warning sign or a because I sit back and go, okay, maybe in week 11 or week 12 to the Baltimore Ravens, who might not be one of the glamour teams of the NFL, I don't want to say that, but like a team that's expected to win the Super Bowl this year, it might be somewhat easier to postpone this game. But what happens if it's week 16 or week one of the playoffs and it's Patrick Mahomes? And there's this constant, okay, Monday there's positive tests. Tuesday there's positive. Wednesday, are they just going to constantly push playoff games? What happens if it's Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers? So this needs to be a really big moment for the NFL to go, how can we learn to better protect ourselves when we get into a moment where these games can't just be pushed 3 or 4 days because of the competitive advantage and disadvantage of win or go home scenarios. And that's the playoffs. So this is huge for the Ravens, a huge detriment for the Ravens, but also the NFL needs to learn from what has happened over this past 10 days with this game and make sure that they are ready or a proactive setting playoffs.
I appreciate what you got. Like, I hear you, Dan, and your focus on the NFL or Stephen A on the Ravens or whatever you guys want to say is fine, but that just goes to my point. The Steelers are going to look at this like this. Everyone's talking about the NFL or the Ravens. This is about us. We're undefeated. There is one undefeated team in football, and it happens to be a team who's tied for the most Super Bowl championships in history. And it took the Patriots a whole, you know, the entire dynasty to finally even catch the Steelers for Super Bowl titles. They're like, hold on, timeout. We're a national brand. One of the greatest franchises, you could even argue the greatest franchise in the history of the NFL. We're undefeated this late into the season. You know, they spanked the Browns. They beat the Ravens. They beat the Titans. They had their bye week moved. They had their mini bye week erased. They may have to play an extended season. They didn't do anything wrong, right? They didn't, nothing that they did or nothing that happened to them that extended right. Any of this. They're going to be sitting there with a giant chip on their shoulder. I think it motivates the Steelers. I think that's what this is going to wind up being about.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Meanwhile, LeBron James could be done playing the one for the Los Angeles Lakers. The newly acquired Dennis Schroeder said he intends to start at point guard for the defending champs. The Lakers have not settled upon their starting lineup. Sources told ESPN, though Schroeder would consider, him starting at the point guard spot. He also could be asked to fill in off the bench. Sources have said that as well. Max, I'll start with you here. How much pressure is on the Lakers to repeat?
I think there's more pressure on the Lakers this season. Yeah, I didn't hear either. I'm sorry. I'm assuming you said me, but I don't know.
Go ahead, Max.
Because Stephen A didn't. Okay. All right. I think there's more pressure on the Lakers to start this season, to win this season, than there was last season. Like, do you remember before last season that survey of GMs? Right. I think it was right before the season started. It was late October or November. Who is most likely to win? GMs, right? So they survey 30 GMs, all the GMs in the league, and they ask who is most likely to win the championship. These people, their living is dependent on knowing this kind of stuff, of evaluating talent. Number one was the Clippers. Number two was the Bucks. Lakers finished a distant third. They turned out to be wrong. But the perception was going in, the Lakers may not win it this season. And why not? Like, this is the third time LeBron has formed a super team in a location. The first time is he went to Miami, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and then Miller and all these guys. Yeah, we want to play there too. They lost the championship year one. They got there, but they lost. Same thing happened in Cleveland. Oh, they got Kyrie and the number one pick. They can flip Wiggins into Kevin Love. I'll go to Cleveland. There's another super team. Year one, he lost. True, everyone got hurt, but he still, he didn't win the championship year one. LeBron usually figures that out year two because you got to get the details just right. It's hard just to throw guys together and have them win a championship. So I would say the expectation among most who knew was not that the Lakers would win, yet they did. But how about this season, guys? What's the expectation now? A lot of people would say the number one and number two players in the world are both on the Lakers. They just won the championship, and I think everyone agrees they improved at least on paper in the offseason. Montrezl Harrell and Schroeder and Marc Gasol. So, yeah, there's more pressure now, especially, Stephen A., as you know. You spent enough time in L.A. and have covered the league long enough and have been alive long enough to know. Lakers fans, ooh, they get greedy. You know, the reason they want to win a championship is because you can't repeat or three-peat without winning the first one. Now they expect it. So do the odds makers. And I think there's more pressure than ever right now.
Well, for me personally, when I think about three-peat, that's the only time that I'm interested in applying any kind of pressure to LeBron James at this stage and point in his career. He's never done that in his career. He won back-to-backs in Miami. He won one in Cleveland. He won one with the Los Angeles Lakers. But he's never three-peated like Jordan. He's never three-peated like Kobe. And so because of that, I would like to see that. I don't think that will happen. But then again, you never know with the arsenal that they've put forth. The bottom line is I don't think there's as much pressure on the Los Angeles Lakers to quote-unquote repeat outside of that. I think there's pressure on LeBron James to win another chip before he departs from L.A. since he'll have Anthony Davis. And by the way, speaking of Anthony Davis, congratulations to Clutch Sports and Anthony Davis. I don't know why the hell they're in the news for him not signing. It's a 2-year deal, it's a 3-year deal, or it's a 4-year deal. Either way you slice it, you're getting the max. What the hell is all the drama about? Sign the damn contract.
Yeah, just tell them what you
are.
Want.
You really leaving Southern? Are you really leaving Southern California to go to Windy City in Chicago or to the New York Knicks under Dolan, Max Kellerman? I mean, is there really some suspense as to where Anthony Davis is going to go? But they're in the news. I mean, so hey, you know, more power to Rich Paul and Clutch Sports. Major props to them. He's been doing a good job. Here's the bottom line. At the end of the day, when you look at all the moves that the Lakers made, certainly they're the favorites, they're the prohibitive favorites. But Max, I was of the mindset, if you remember, I said the Lakers had to win last year. I'm not trying to say there's no pressure, because of course there's pressure. I'm saying it was more last year than now. The reason why is because I firmly believed if they had lost last year and somebody else, say the Clippers, had knocked them off, all right, or God forbid Denver, okay, then what would have happened was it would have been that much harder for them to ultimately overcome, you know, get over the hump, because there would have been even more pressure to bear on LeBron and Anthony Davis. They would not have won together. Everybody would have been like, what's up? What you gonna do? Meanwhile, those other teams knew how to win. But the fact that that has not happened and the Lakers ended up handling their business in relatively dominant fashion, I might add, the bottom line is because they handled their business the way that they did and they won the chip and they already know how to win together and they've gotten that off. Now they could just go and play basketball, may the best team win. They should be it. Again, there's pressure because they're the prohibitive favorite. But it's nothing compared to what it was last year, because if they had not won last year, it would have been significantly more pressure this season and beyond.
But the reason is, see, I think there's a problem with that kind of thought experiment. The reason that there's more pressure now is because they didn't lose to the Clippers. They never met the Clippers. They didn't lose to the Nuggets. They didn't lose to anyone. And Stephen A., the truth is, they never really came close, brother. They never really came close. That was kind of an easy championship win. Not that winning any championship is easy, but we've seen teams get to a nail biter game seven along the way, right? Right, they made it look easy. Could someone even take them to a game seven? No. That was like Jordan on the Bulls type stuff, right? Like, oh, y'all can't even take this dude to a game seven. Those might be the two best players in the world. So the fact that we now know that they were that much better than the rest of basketball last season, and we all believe they got better, but we don't look at any other team and say, see that team right there? That team was knocking on the door, and they just took a giant step forward. We don't think that about the Clippers. You may think they got marginally better or marginally worse. The Bucks got a little better, but they didn't even get out of the East. Did the Heat get better? Maybe if certain guys improve because they're getting a little older. But no one. We don't see anyone on the, you know, it's not like the Nuggets acquired some major star or something like that. We're like, okay, now what are they going to do? So for that reason, there's more pressure now because we know what the Lakers are supposed to do. The expectations are higher.
Well, again, I disagree. I mean, because the expectations are higher because we're looking at them and some of the moves that they made, and they're the prohibitive favorites. But I look at Denver. One could argue that there's addition by subtraction. Even though we all like Jeremy Grant and he can ball, the fact that he's going to be gone, Bart's going to come back, but you've got Michael Porter Jr. that's expected to ascend. Who knows how interesting that can be? We love Montrezl Harrell. We understand that he's an energizer bunny. And, you know, aside from his poor performance in the playoffs, he had some things going on family-wise, not to mention the fact that he really didn't want to be in the bubble to begin with, and he wasn't getting along with Paul George. That's an element. But the Clippers have upgraded because Serge Ibaka is an upgrade from Harrell, a better rim protector and a better perimeter shooter. So we get that with, along with the motivational element of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard really needing to make amends for their poorest performance in Game 7. It could be very, very interesting. But in the end, the Lakers already won. They handled their business. They need to win another title again, sure. But this season, per se, even though they're the prohibitive favorite, if it doesn't happen, we'll get over it, and they'll come back the third season together.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.